series. I like to make sure everyone gets on the same page in morning and night. And we're starting a new series called Faith Goes to Work. And we're doing this series tonight. We normally stick with Bible books, but the reason we're doing this series is because for most of us, we're going to spend a lot of our time at work. And I said this morning, studies have shown that for the average adult, your working life, you'll spend a third of your waking hours at work. Now, that might be some people as a parent, you might be at home. Some people, for different reasons, can't do paid work. They do volunteer work. They're looking after family. There's a whole lot of different situations. Some struggle with unemployment, and I've sat with a number of people, and especially for men, there's something inherent in that sense we've got to provide, and it often leads to depression, all sorts of things. There's a lot of struggles around work. But you spend a lot of time working and a lot of time doing something. Now, for your younger people, it might be school at the moment, it's schoolwork, but a lot of your life is spent in this stuff. And so for us, if we're going to think about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, we can't just think about what we do on Sunday here for an hour. We need to think about what we're actually doing with our life and what's the purpose of this thing that we spend so much time doing, this thing called work. And I shared a few things about, I guess, my work history. Before I was a pastor, most of you know, I worked for Woolies for 17 years and had lots of fun and games there, did day shifts, night shifts. Worked in every department. I can remember when I first started cleaning floors and packing sausages and all sorts of things and managing stores and interviews and hiring and firing, the fun stuff and all that sort of. So I've done lots of different things, and I've done late night shifts, and I've done lots of weekends. When I started my management trainee, I had to work every weekend for a year, and just a bit over a year. The boss never gave me one Saturday or Sunday off for a year. It was just work, work, work. And so I know what it's like, that tough thing to get up, whether it's for school on Monday, you want to go back to the weekend, or whether it's work. I understand that, what it feels like, those feelings, and how we need to get some meaning in what we're doing with work. And just to summarize some of the things we talked about this morning, we talked about what the church is and why this matters, because the church is not a building. And if you went back to the early church when it started and you talked about going to church, or there's the church and you pointed to a building, they would think you're crazy. Oh, what are you talking about? That's not the church. The church is people. And we're told that the New Testament image is of people. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, where it talks about this image of building, but it's people. And you're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household. And here's this building image, but it's not of bricks and walls, it's of people. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So all that language around church is to do with people. 1 Corinthians 6 says your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so whereas in the Old Testament everyone went to the temple, now the New Testament says you are the temple, you are the church. And so we have church for about an hour and a quarter tonight, right? So where, if the church is people and it's not these four walls, where is the church most of the time? Where is it most of the time? Go on. Home, or you spend a lot of time at work. And so it's important that we wrestle through our theology of work, and we wrestle through what's the purpose of it, what's God doing, whether it's stay-at-home work, whether it's paid work, because most of the time the church is out there, not in here. Now, this is important. This is vital, in fact. And in fact, I think this is an essential part of Christian faith. And I just can't understand people say, I'm a Christian, but I don't go to church. And I go, okay, that's lovely. You don't necessarily have to go to church to be a Christian, but to be a faithful Christian, you do need to be with God's people. So what we do here on Sunday is really important, but if we're going to really talk about being the church, we've got to talk about what we do out there, not just in here, because we spend most of our time, the church is people, we're out there. And our overarching verse for this series, that's just going to go for a month, this series, is this verse out of Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever you do, do it all as a representative. Another version says, as a representative of Jesus. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter whether you're singing a song or whether you're going to work tomorrow and you're balancing the books. Whatever you do, you're doing it as a representative of Jesus Christ. And so all our work is worship. And here's one of the issues we have, is this divide that's people make between what is sacred and what is secular. And we do it with work. And we talk about those that have a sacred job, like a pastor or a missionary. And then what about these people that just, they do financial things, or they value properties? That's the sacred everything we do, we've just said, haven't we, that whatever you do it as a representative of Jesus. So everything we do is an act of worship, okay? So everyone say, work is worship. Work is worship. Strange way to think about it, isn't it? But it's not if according to the Bible. Work is worship. And it doesn't matter whether some of us, you know, who's worked with their hands? I don't think we've got any tradies tonight, do we? Who's a, you know, more, a bit more, you know, teachers? You know, a bit of a handyman. What did you do for when you were, before you retired? You were mining, so you're a bit of a hand, working with your hands. So it doesn't matter if you're working with your hands, whether you're working with your head, whether you're teaching. All of these are part of God's creative design, and they're all supposed to be worship. And we don't have this divide between which jobs are the holy people and which jobs are the people who are kind of second-class Christians, because we need Christian plumbers and teachers and nurses and politicians and bankers, don't we? And so we've got to stop this divide of the sacred and secular, and also the divide to think that some of the things we do aren't really those sacred bits of our life. You know, when I'm just cleaning the kitchen, well, that's kind of the bit that removed from God. Well, it's not. Everything you do as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And so one of our things with work we want to think about is the fact that work is worship, and every part of our life is actually sacred, is an act of worship. Well, the world, they have a different idea of work, and it's something we get sucked into, this I don't live to work, I work to live. It's kind of this, we idolize weekends in our culture, and there's nothing wrong with a good weekend. I enjoy a good weekend. There's nothing wrong. God created a day of 6 days just to work, and one day you shall rest. So there's nothing wrong with rest and leisure and holidays and things like that. But in our culture, we idolize that. It's get out of as much work as you can, and we idolize this holiday, this weekend. And that's why we have quotes like this from Mark Twain. Work is a necessary evil to be avoided. Avoided at all costs. But it's not the biblical picture of work. What does the Bible say about work? Well, in fact, in the Garden of Eden, where everything was perfect, God took man, put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To, wow. So even in a perfect world, before sin came into the world, before everything was broken, there was work. So the problem isn't work itself, it's how we think about it, how we do it, and what the fall has done to it as well. But work itself is actually a good thing of God, and part of human nature is for us to actually work and do something. It's part of our human nature. We're told that God uses the image that he worked. Jesus, my Father is working until now, and I am working. That same language of work is used by Jesus as well. And then I talked about some of the problems with work, and here's one of the problems, is that often the only way that we tie work to who we are as Christians is evangelism. Now, evangelism is really, really important. So important. I think this verse is so true. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks for a reason for your hope. But the problem I find is that we're not all gifted evangelists, right? There's some people that they're just great at it. And I said this morning at Woolies at Lake Haven, I had a guy that would just sit in the lunchroom with his Bible and chat to everyone. He just seemed to have that. Someone would come in and somehow he would just get that conversation to the Bible and Jesus within those first couple of sentences. He just has that gift, right, of evangelism. But if the only thing we think about our work is that it's evangelism, if you're not a great evangelist, you're going to be very frustrated. And if you're in a job where you're actually often not allowed to do a lot of evangelism, right? There's a lot of jobs. What if you're in a job where you work by yourself a lot and you don't actually meet a whole lot of people during the day? What do you do then? And so evangelism, you pray, that's right. Evangelism is so important, but we can't just reduce the only purpose of work. Well, the only reason God's got me in a job is to make sure I evangelize all these people. I think it's much bigger than that. So that's one of the issues. One of the other issues is that people try to find work, meaning in work itself without God. And Ecclesiastes, the writer there talks about the meaningless of life without God. And here he says, I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. And so he recognized that there's that frustration sometimes in work, which is true, but without meaning of God, it's meaningless. Some people idolize their work, and some people, they're just constantly chasing that next big thing, aren't they? And they're constantly just got to get to the next ladder and get the next peg of the status. That they idolize it because they don't have God, their whole idea of what life's about is their work. And so we have to be careful with work that it doesn't become an idol. And one of the real problems with work, and then we'll get to some of the, I guess, the good stuff, is that we know when sin came into the world, work wasn't what it used to be, right? So to Adam, this is after Adam sinned, and every human sinned after him. As I said this morning, we can't just blame Adam or blame Eve, because everyone's fallen short of the glory of God. And so we're in this too. But after sin came into the world, relationship with God was broken, relationship with each other was broken, and then also the relationship between us and creation was broken. And to Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree. So the moral of the story is don't listen to your wife, okay? That's the point of this chapter, I think. No. So he listened to his wife, ate from the tree, which God said you must not eat of it. So cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. From dust you are, and to dust you will return. So there God tells Adam, work's going to be tough, right? It's broken. And I've had all sorts of fun. I said this morning, bosses and staff that all sorts of gossip and deceit and anger and work isn't all, it's not all perfect, right? I mean, I'm a pastor. I love my job, but there are frustrating days because we live in a fallen world. So one of the problems with work is we might think that's all going to be perfect. And young people, I said this morning, a survey of 15-year-olds, 90% wanted to be famous and 50% thought they were going to be, because they just want the fame and the fortune. They want everything to be perfect, right? The reality is life is difficult at times, isn't it? Everyone in their job has sometimes had some tough days, haven't you? Yes, it's not all perfect. And that's because it's full of broken people like you and me. And it's because we're in a fallen world. And so one of the issues with work is we can't get ultimate perfect fulfillment because it's not perfect. It's messed up at times. So that's the problems with work. Well, where's some of the good stuff? Well, I'm going to get you to do some of the work here for a minute. And so I've got this verse from Colossians where we're saying whatever we do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. And so we really need to see our work as worship. So what I want you to do, Beck, if you can go to the next, down the actual work one, I think it is. Put it there. You'll see it on the next one there. It's another slide under that first set of slides, that one there. So you're going to do one of the Bible study questions before we have some supper tonight. So you've got to get a group of two or three, get together. I want you to answer this question. How is work, or how can work be worship? How can it be mission, and how can it be service? Because these are three things as Christians we are to do. We're to worship, we're to do mission, and we're to serve. Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Okay, so I want you to come up with some ideas. How can you see that work could actually be worship, mission, or service? There you go, nice little group of young people in the front. You can make a group. Get a little group there. How can work be those three things?
but I suppose it actually kind of comes with the service.
That's right, the service.
All right, hope you've answered a few questions. Okay, tell us something over here. How is work worship? Anything? No? Yeah, we talked a lot about character, integrity. Even just doing excellent work to the glory, doing your best to the glory of God is worship. We talked about creativity. God's a creative God. He's created us to create things, not just physical hand creative, but even with our minds to create order out of numbers and figures in finances and all sorts of things. And so we talked about, yeah, character, creative. What about mission over here? Well, how is work mission? What do you reckon? Yep, seeing the people around you, praying for them. Even if you're in a workplace where it's hard to actually, we're not often allowed to speak in some workplaces, you've got to be careful. But I shared this morning about a missionary book I'm reading about a guy who's in prison in North Korea. He took groups in just to go and pray. And they would just go in and pray for the nation. He's got this amazing story of how he went to prison and, someone can borrow it later. Great, amazing man of faith. But, yeah, you can pray. So make sure we're certainly always aware of these people around us. Yes, we're being watched. That's how work is mission. Yep, absolutely. Yep, we're being watched to see. And we're trying to paint a different picture of what's important, what's valuable. Certainly that. What about service? How is service? Yep. Even if they don't see you, just wanting to serve and bless people, being a blessing to people. You know, one of the simple ways to talk about what the Christian life is like, love God, love your neighbor. I mean, it's just one of the most simple kind of explanations of what the Christian faith, living it is like. That this love of God is expressed in loving your neighbor, even if they don't see, you're just going to keep blessing and loving. And so we've just got to keep thinking about our work as an act of worship, and that can help us transform our thinking when we're having the tough days, because you're going to have some hard days at work, you're going to have days where you don't want to get out of bed, you're going to have those days, because we're in a broken world, and unless you're really, really lucky, you're not going to always have the perfect day at work, are you? Things happen, it's tough. So we've got to think about our work as an act of worship. We'd be praying as we think about this topic that we'd go into work thinking, God, how am I worshiping you? How am I seeing this as mission? How am I serving and blessing? And making sure it's not just the culture where it just says something you just got to go and do so that you can actually live life. Now, work's part of life. It's part of our human nature. And we can redeem work if we do it as an act of worship. All right, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in coming weeks, but we're going to stop there for now. I'm going to pray for us. We're going to have some supper, and then going to be back with a couple of songs and communion, a couple of things in a moment. So let me pray.